Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, when we flip from the festival half of the church year to the long green season, the focus of the readings shifts from the life of Christ to the life of the church and to the life of the individual believers. And these early lessons are about some very basic aspects of discipleship. 2 weeks ago, you had the calling of Matthew and the comparison of the Pharisees with Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners. The gospel that the church preaches is not for the set of perfect people. It's not a holy club. The church is the gathering of sinners who admit it. I am a poor, miserable sinner, as one of our confessions say. And that should frame our understanding of discipleship in the church. It's a spiritual hospital, not a Hollywood party for the good and great. Last week, you had the start of Jesus' discipleship sermon. Understand that sinners without the gospel are harassed and helpless. Satan and the world harass us from outside. Our sinful nature leaves us helpless. But God has recognized our harassed and helplessness and has sent us a Savior. A Savior who heals every disease and infirmity. And that healing comes from the proclamation which Christ Himself has assured us. It will go out because He sends out workers into the field. Your sins are forgiven. The Spirit will guide you. Do not fear. And so today, we get a picture of what Jesus says this life of the church and of discipleship might look like. And I think a lot of people might assume, if I'm getting right with God, and if I'm understanding the fallibility of people, and if I do not fear because the Spirit is guiding, everything should be smooth sailing. After all, Christ has promised healing. And who can stand before God? This should be a march, as the great hymn puts it, from victory unto victory. And that's not a crazy thought. The disciples at the ascension, kind of the end of the festival season, are asking Jesus if now the kingdom would be restored. Surely now, Jesus, you are going to raise your banner and your army lead. But that right-handed, straightforward power is not how the kingdom works in this world. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Just because the victory has been won doesn't mean that the enemy gives up. And don't think we should just run by these verses. Because almost every family here today has experienced something like this. A brother believes, but a sister does not. A father and mother are faithful, but some children are straying far. You name the family relation. Jesus mentions it. Our lesson today cuts off right where next week's begins, but Jesus picks this subject back up. Do not think that I have come to bring peace, but a sword. And then adding to the list of family interactions, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and a few others. It's a picture of the house by house spiritual warfare of the proclamation of the gospel. And it's terrible. It's in your face. No pressing buttons on a screen and seeing bombs explode at a safe distance. It's human. Heart to heart. Between people who love each other. Soul to soul. Nobody can hurt you like your family. Nobody can hate you like family can. And before we run too far, we should recognize this effect also came to Jesus' own family. Mark records them: James, Joseph, Simon, Jude, and two sisters. Now James and Jude come around, but the others are never mentioned. And there's a reason from the cross that Jesus says to John, "Behold your mother," regarding Mary. His own family had abandoned him. They thought he was crazy. And Jesus had returned the thought asking, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" as they stood outside the house. And he answered, "Not them, but those who do the will of my Father." Proclamation of the gospel, the living of the Christian life in clear view of the world, is not sunshine and roses. Because it's about things eternal. You think Satan's just going to give up and let everyone have a walk in the woods? While he can still get you to damn yourself? And yes, Christ took away his most fierce weapon. Death is no more. You have eternal life in Christ. But the devil still got his tongue. And he still got this old world. And it often still looks like a great deal, trading things eternal, which we don't know much about, for things temporal that we can see and feel and touch right now. Not the least of them being household peace and Sunday mornings off. The disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. And they've called Jesus Beelzebul. How much more can you expect to be maligned? And what Jesus says, I think, amounts to don't give up. Keep walking. Have no fear, for nothing that is covered will not be revealed. or hidden that will not be made known. God is at work in this world, and it might feel at times like you've been abandoned, that the personal cost is too much, but the truth will be revealed. What I say to you in the dark, say in the light. Would you hear whispered? Claim on the rooftops. Don't give up. Confess the faith. Your testimony is how God calls sinners. And it's house by house, because it's heart by heart. Saying that we have to win hearts and minds became something of a terrible cliche during the war on terror. But that's always been the case with Jesus. He wants hearts and minds and souls. Just killing everyone doesn't work, because we're talking about eternal souls. And if you find yourself in that household spiritual warfare, don't fear. Tell it in the light. The word of God does not return empty. Don't fear the temporal, because you're playing for the eternal. Because at the end of the day, we have a God whose gut was churned over our harassed and helpless state. And this is his promise. Jesus uses the sparrows of the sacrifice. Are not two sold for a penny? That would be the sacrifice for sin expected of a poor person. And Jesus says not one of them, not one of those sparrows falls without your Father knowing it. Your witness, your anger, your strife, your pain, your prayers, your love, none of that falls without the Father knowing. Because how much more are you and those whom you are striving for, how much more are you worth than a sparrow? And the answer, just in case you didn't know it, is a lot. The Father sent his only Son to find all of the hairs of his harassed and helpless sheep, to redeem all of those who would hear his voice. And saying it's a game trivializes it, because it's that spiritual war carried out house to house and heart to heart. It's a spiritual war with eternal stakes. Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, I also will deny. And you, as a disciple of Christ, have been enlisted into this. Fear not. The victory's been won. It just needs to be proclaimed and lived. And that's your calling, to live it. It's only eternity at stake. Amen.